And yes, yeah, I really thank the Lord for the sharing yesterday. It really impressed in my heart what great things God has done for us. He really has done so much, has given us really all things to help us reach the goal. Yeah. You know, there's a saying that in the world today that success is 10% talent and 90% hard work. But here it's actually the other way around. With God, it is 90% grace. God has done so much for us. He's done 90% of the work, and 10% requires our diligence. It's the other way around, right? Very encouraging. It's good to just recapitulate what we have heard yesterday. First of all, that God has given us this wonderful faith as a gift. We have obtained this equally precious faith, right? Ephesians says it is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Praise God. And this faith is no less, as we heard, that it is the faith of God. It is this faith through which God created all things, the whole universe, and called what is not being into being. And Paul also said that this is the faith of the Son of God. In Galatians 2:20, he said that no longer I lives, but Christ lives in me, right? And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. This is also the faith through which the Lord accomplished God's purpose when he was on earth. Right, all the wonderful signs and miracles that he did was by this wonderful faith. And even in Hebrews 11, all these men of God, men of faith, right? All that they accomplished was by this faith. This faith is really so powerful. And it really works. And it is the same faith that the apostles have. Yeah, praise God, we have this wonderful faith in us, the same kind of faith, the same brand. It is the faith of God, right? And then we also went to see that his divine power has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Through his divine power, he has given us all things. All things is all things, okay? No exemption. God has really given us everything that we need to make it, to reach the goal, right? And then also we have seen that he has given us exceedingly great and precious promises through which we can partake of his divine nature. Paul even went further, saying in Ephesians, that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. God has really given us everything. You know, Enoch took 300 years because he didn't have these things. He didn't even have the old covenant, right? Maybe if he had lived in our days, he would have just taken maybe just 100 years, one third of the time, right? So we're really better off than Enoch. We have all these wonderful blessings of the new covenant. So there's no reason for us not to make it, as this song says. We will make it, we will make it. Praise God, right? God has made sure on his part, he's done all that he can. I think there's nothing more he could do. He's given us everything that he could give us and done everything that he could do to help us to make it, right? And if we don't make it, it is really our own fault. Like what the German would say, selber schuld, right? It will be really our own fault if we don't make it. That is why the Lord said that to the unfaithful stewards, that because of their unfaithfulness, they will have to what? Be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That means if we didn't make it, we will regret so much, because there was really no reason for us not to make it. God has done everything to ensure that we make it. So praise God, we should be encouraged, right? And that's why Peter went on to say that because of this very reason, right? Just for this reason alone, we should be diligent. That means there is still a need for us to cooperate with the Lord, right? Yeah, Paul actually has the same attitude. If we would just turn to Philippians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, for example. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, maybe it's good to read it. First Corinthians chapter 9, and from verse 24 to 27. Yeah. Let me read it. It says, Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So we see that Paul has this attitude. He considers the Christian life as running a race, as an athlete who competes to gain a crown. You know, if you want to really excel and get the crown, you have to be diligent, right? And it's just 10%, actually. God has done so much. But we have also to do our part, to cooperate with the Lord. And Paul went on to say that we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Because it is God who does the willing and the doing. But we have to work it out with fear and trembling, meaning to say we have to be diligent, right? Paul was very diligent. He was willing to count all things lost as rubbish to gain Christ, right? Willing to forget everything that lies behind. Yeah, to press on towards the goal. Paul was indeed very diligent, right? Yeah. So Peter went on to say that we have to add, right? Yeah. We have to add to our faith. If you look at the outline, it says the word add is a very interesting word used there. It's used in the context of the owner or a choir master, right? Who actually, in the olden days, there is a choir master that supplies all the needs of its choir members. Okay. And everything is there. It's possible that it's a very wealthy person who owns the choir. Just like today, there are people who own the NBA basketball team, right? You see, they're quite wealthy. And so this man, or this person who is in charge of the choir, or maybe who owns it, supplies all the needs of the choir member. The food, the clothing, their shoes, maybe board and lodging as well. The training, the maintenance, everything is available, right? And so the members do not have to worry about anything. All their needs are secured, so to speak. They just need to ask for it. So the Greek word there used to that is translated as add, is this word, right? And it's the same word that is used in Philippians chapter 1, wherein Paul says that what he was going through in prison, right, will turn out to his salvation through our prayers, through the prayers of the saints, and through the bountiful supply of the Spirit. That word bountiful supply is the same Greek word that releases the root, same root Greek word to indicate that, you know, the bountiful supply is there, available. And we see that Paul really experienced that, because through his imprisonment, so it turned out, he says, to be to the furtherance of the gospel, right? So praise God. To add here doesn't mean that we are added something, we're adding something that is not there, right? Everything is already there, right? We just need to avail ourselves of it and allow it to mature, to develop, to be perfected. Praise God, right? God has given us everything. It's really like, as what we have seen, it is like a seed, right? A seed really contains everything for it to become what it is supposed to be, right? Yeah, it's very interesting. I have been doing some planting the last few years. And last year, I actually started to plant some seeds. It's really amazing how this very tiny seed can grow to be a plant and bear fruit. I did not add anything to it, but I had to be diligent to cause it to grow, to develop all its potentials, right? Yeah. Paul did say that we, the church, is God's building and God's farm. He says, I planted, Apollos watered. Meaning to say, we need to be diligent. If we do not do anything with that seed, or we just plant it. And, you know, I really had to labor quite a bit, right? To till the ground, to buy new earth, mix it with compost, with fertilizers, to be sure that it gets the sunlight it needs, and even to trim it when it started to grow, right? And add fertilizer. Sometimes I have to go out, if I forgot to water it at midnight, I still have to go out and water it, right? Or early morning, before it gets too hot, to water it. Yeah, it's not that easy, right? Especially when it started as a seed. Before, I used to buy just seedlings. But, you know, it's just amazing how a tiny seed that is just about 1 millimeter in size, diameter, can become a plant, a cucumber plant, a tomato plant, right? It's just amazing. And this is because everything is already in that seed. So we have to realize that to add means that we need to really be diligent. Yeah, we are both the soil and the farmer, okay? The seed has been planted into us, and we are also the farmer that has to be diligent. Yeah, twice Peter mentioned that we need to be diligent, right? Even the second part of this chapter. Yeah, so in verse 10, it says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Yeah. So diligence is necessary in everything, right? Yeah, even in our human life, in our business, in our career, whatever we do, if we want to succeed, it requires diligence. And more so in our Christian life, in this high calling that we have received. It is actually the highest calling of the human life, right? How much more we need to be diligent, yeah. Oh, Lord, yeah. So Christ, as the seed of life, has been planted in our hearts, yeah. All we need to do is to grow, to mature, and allow this life to fully be expressed, to fully mature and be perfected. Yeah. Yeah, so there are many ways, really, that we can cause this seed to grow. I think in one of the conferences that we had, was it last year, about growing in life, how we can grow in life, right? How we need to take care of this life and to eat and drink the Lord, right? Just like Peter mentioned a few things, like newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. We need to be diligent to be nourished, to feed on the Lord. Yeah. And also to exercise unto godliness. Exercise is important, right? To be healthy. To walk in the light. Learn to walk in the light. We need sunshine. And to put to death the deeds of the flesh. I just put a list of a few things that we should be diligent in to promote such a growth in life, right? Yeah. And to be doers and not just hearers of the word. And really to spend time to pray, right? So the Bible does show us a lot of things that we should be diligent in to really cause this life to grow. Yeah. Amen. Then we come to the next part here. I like what it says in the outline. It's not just qualities, but different stages of our growth in life. Yeah. And the first stage mentioned here is virtue. It is the most important fundamental stage. Yeah, it is indeed the first and foremost and the most important stage of our Christian life, which is virtue. Yeah. Because virtue is all the divine nature and the fine humanity of Christ that needs to be wrought into us. And Romans 8 says that God's purpose is to conform us, to the image of his Son. Yeah, this process starts immediately. Yeah. We need to be transformed from the very beginning. This is God's purpose, to transform us, to conform us to the image of his Son. Yeah, to transform us from glory to glory, to fully sanctify us, because we are called to be kings and priests, right? We need to have the proper humanity to be able to reign with Christ in his kingdom. Otherwise, we will not qualify. We will be corrupt like today's rulers, the rulers of this world, are corrupt because of their corrupt humanity. So we need, first of all, to allow all these virtues to be developed more and more, to become more like him, right? Praise the Lord. This is what God is doing right after we're saved, to transform us, to conform us to the image of his beloved Son, right? So change should continue, right? Just like, yeah, children today, right? When a baby is born, it becomes more and more like a human being, right? In the beginning, there's not much difference between a monkey baby and a human baby. But, you know, as the baby grows, then the difference becomes very obvious, right? You see all the human virtues, the human nature being expressed. The child becomes really more and more human, right? So praise God. The first and most important fundamental stage is that we partake more and more of his divine nature. We become more holy, more righteous, just as God is holy. Right. Amen. So, yeah. And the second stage here is knowledge. Yeah. Knowledge. Of course, this knowledge is definitely not just doctrinal knowledge. First of all, as we grow in life, we start to have a proper and accurate understanding of the Bible, right? We are not like children, as it says in Ephesians 4, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Yeah, as we mature in life, we do not just believe what anybody say. We want to be sure that what we hear is according to the word of God. We should learn from the Bereans. When they heard what Paul shared with them, they went home and searched the scriptures to see whether all these things are true or not. Especially today, even Peter warned us, right, that there are so many false teachers, false prophets, right? They use very cunning methods to deceive us, right? Yeah, so we need to have proper and accurate understanding of the Bible. And not only that, as you can see on the outline, we have to know the science of the heavenly life. Meaning to say, our knowledge of the Lord is really just like science today. Something that is factual, established, right? Even experienced. Paul said in Romans chapter 15, verse 18, that, let's just read that verse. Okay. Romans 15 and verse 18. He says here, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me, in word and deed. Meaning to say, all that Paul has shared and written are things that he has himself experienced, right? Tested, real, applicable. It's not just theory, it is science. You know, when we learn science, we did not just learn some theories, right? Science is something that is applicable, something that we experience, something that always works, something that is based on natural law, like the law of gravity, right? We experience that every day. Like the law of water, for example, we know it exists in three forms, right? And it boils at 100 degrees Celsius, and it freezes at 0 degrees Celsius, right? It becomes vapor and it becomes ice. This is something that we not only know, but we experience. And this is how we should know the Word of God, not just doctrinal knowledge, but it is something that is real, applicable, something that always works, right? There are so many spiritual laws in the Word of God, just like the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. This always works, right? That if we set our minds on the flesh, it is death, right? But to set our minds on the spirit is life and peace. That is a law. And that is something that we can experience. So as we grow in life, we really would like to know the word in an experiential way, something that we can apply and experience. Don't just learn doctrines and interpretations, but our desire is to be able to apply the word, right? Just like what James says, we are not just hearers, but doers of the word, right? And our knowledge of the Lord should also be experiential. Actually, twice earlier in this chapter, Peter mentioned, right, about the knowledge of the Lord. Let's just go back to 1 Peter here. 2 Peter, I mean. He says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We like to know the Lord in such a way, not doctrinally, but in such a way that we experience peace, grace, and peace multiplied. In other words, we experience more of his grace, more of his peace, right? And then he went on to say again, right, as his, in verse 3, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, again, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So this kind of knowledge is definitely not just knowing about the Lord, but it is knowing the Lord in a very personal, subjective, and experiential way, right? Yeah, knowing him who called us by glory and virtue, and also to partake of his divine nature, right? So praise the Lord. We should have such kind of knowledge of the Lord. This should develop as we grow in life, right? We should have this desire of Paul when he said in Philippians chapter 3, right? That I may know him. It didn't end there, right? He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, even to be conformed to his death. This is the kind of knowledge that should be added to our faith, that should be fully developed, right? Amen. Yeah. And one more point here that I will add is self-control. Yeah. Self-control. In the outline, it says, one who masters his desires and passions. Yeah, we all have desires and passions, right? We like to enjoy a lot of things, which most of which are not sinful, right? nothing wrong if you love music, if you love sports, you love computers, so many things that we like, and they're not sinful, but they can be distracting. They can serve as a hindrance, right? I was reminded of Hebrews chapter 12, right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says there, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Yeah, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Yeah, he says, let aside every weight. All these desires and passions may not be sinful, but they can be a weight that pulls us down, that slows us down, that hinders us in running this race, right? Not sinful, but eventually it becomes a snare. And the sin that so easily beset us, meaning to say, they are not big sins, they're small sins, right? That so easily beset us, yeah. So we need to be careful. We need to exercise self-control. Yeah, doing sports is good, good for your health. But be sure to exercise self-control, that you're not carried away by it, that it robs you of your time, your energy, right? That eventually you have no time for God. It's very subtle, right? So self-control is very important. Right, that's why it's one of the things that are mentioned here. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Of course, many other things. We need to control our temper, self-control. Our lips, James said, right? It's very hard to bridle. Yeah. We need to have self-control. Our reactions in different situations require self-control. So, I will leave the other stages to John Yao to share. But let me just quickly move on to the warnings, right? To the warnings here. Point C of the outline is good. It says, in every stage, we must gain these qualities in increasing measure. Yeah, King James Version says, if these things are yours and abound. But in the New International Version, the NIV says, these qualities must be increasing in measure. That means it's not just like one stage after the other. After the first stage, it's over. Then you work on the second stage, and then it's over. Then you go over to the third stage. It's not like that. It is like, they all should be increasing, right? The growth should go on, just like what Paul says, right? He doesn't consider himself to have attained, right? Full grown already, but he still press on. He wants all these stages to continue, to increase in measure. Praise the Lord. And then he says, then we will be neither barren nor unfruitful. It makes sense, right? It takes maturity to be fruitful in every form of life, right? You don't expect to have grandchildren from your young children. Impossible, right? There needs to be the maturity of life. Yeah. Even in plants, it has to to a certain stature before it can bear fruit, right? You cannot harvest so quickly. After a week, you want to harvest cucumber. It's impossible, right? So, The reason why we are still barren and unfruitful could be because we are not growing in life, right? But here Peter said that if these things are increasing in measure, we are growing in life, these things are being developed, then we will neither be barren nor unfruitful. Yeah. And it will ensure us that we will make it, right? Yeah. We will make our calling and election sure. And thirdly, we will never stumble. Praise God. This is really wonderful, right? We will make it, right? If we, yeah, do what Peter tells us. I'm glad it's just one chapter. There is really no reason why we should not make it. And then the promise here that at the end, a rich and abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be supplied to us. Yeah. You know, all believers will eventually be in the kingdom of God in the New Jerusalem. But not everyone will partake of that 1,000 years kingdom, which the Lord will establish when he comes, right? This is a special time. This is the abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom, when we will partake of the wedding feast of the Lamb. We will be among those invited and reign with Christ as co-kings for 1,000 years, reign over the nations with a rod of iron, right? Yeah, we will be ensured. This is the rich and abundant entrance, right? Even we will be saved from the hour of trial. Be raptured before the great day of God's wrath. All of these is included in that rich and abundant entrance. We don't want to be barely saved, right? We don't want to be like the 5 foolish virgins that didn't make it, had to buy oil when, yeah, the Lord's kingdom, his millennial kingdom, has come. Yeah, so this is really wonderful. Yeah. I'm really appreciating 2 Peter chapter 1. And of course, at the end, there is a warning from Peter to those who lack these things. I think John Yao will cover that. Yeah, so praise the Lord. God has really done everything for us, but we still need to cooperate with him, right? Yeah. Just one last example I'll just mention is that, you know, many of us were fortunate enough to have parents who afford to give us post-secondary education, right? Paid for our tuition, provided everything that we need to graduate, right? To go through university. Provided the books that we need, even food and lodging, even maybe gave you a car to drive. But it does not guarantee that you will graduate, right? Everything is provided, but you still have to be diligent. Your parents cannot take the exam for you, cannot do the homeworks for you, right? Cannot attend classes for you. You have to do that, right? And so the same, God has provided everything that we need, but we still need to cooperate. We still have our part, right? We still need to be diligent, yeah. So praise God for this wonderful word in 2 Peter. May we all be encouraged, as this song said, right? We will make it, but not just through God alone, okay? But it is really cooperating with God. But he's done 90% of the job. He's given us all things that we need. Maybe more than 90%. Maybe 99.99, Juanita said. But there is still that part that we need to do, which is our part. We need to cooperate with the Lord. And not just cooperate, but diligently, with all diligence, right? With all diligence. Yeah. So may we all be encouraged to press on. We will make it. We will make it. There's no reason why we should not make it. Remember that. If we didn't, it is our fault. Selber Schuld, the Germans would say, right? It's your own fault. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah, we don't want to be weeping and gnashing our teeth. Yeah. When we fail to make it. Amen. Praise the Lord.